Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore called to solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. Oh, Protestants. Have you heard of liberation theology? Wretched Radio. Oh, Methodists, what have you done? Oh, I know what happened. You departed from sola scriptura. While there are still some lovely Methodist believers, so much of John Wesley's denomination have become liberation theologists. What exactly is liberation theology? Well, just like the words would suggest, that Christianity is all about setting people free. I would say amen so far. The question, of course, is free from what? The Bible would tell us that if you continue in his word, then are you his disciples indeed. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. From what? Well, from the power of sin, death, and the devil. It'll set you free from being in bondage to Satan. It'll set you free from guilt and shame for your sins, and it will set you free to live a life of righteousness, not according to the liberation theologians, who would say the first story of liberation starts in Exodus, where Moses liberated the people. See what he did there? Liberation. And then as you see stories throughout the Bible that you have to kind of dig to find, where you see liberation, it's also on a trajectory. We're seeing more and more liberation. Yeah, maybe back then there were people that were still in a prison, not able to express themselves fully, to be their authentic selves. But progressively, we see in the Bible, God liberating people, and then ultimately, ooh, this hurts, Jesus liberates people so that they can sin. That's what ultimately liberation theology is all about, that we are liberated to do anything that we choose to do. That is liberation theology. It is a trajectory hermeneutic where the Bible is, it's viewed through a lens. You've got an idea, and then you go find the scripture to support it. So obviously, it's eisegesis. It's importing into the Bible a narrative that you wanted to tell. Why do I bring this up? Well, church news begins in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's Zao Church, Z-A-O. It's a Methodist church. This is going to hurt. This is what was sung at this Methodist church. Well, Jesus loves me, this I know, but people can be so awful. Now, please note, this particular church is really all about LGBTQ liberation. That's just everything that they do seems to be about how horrible everybody is toward them, and they need to be liberated to live the way that they choose. And so if you listen carefully to this lyric, whilst they don't want anybody to be critical and certainly not mean, listen to this lyric. Jesus loves me, this I know, but people can be so awful. All right. Well, I would be one of those people who would say the Bible is emphatically clear. God created them male and female. He is the one who gets to determine the rules of intimacy, and he has decided what is best for us as one man, one woman. Well, that would make me, according to this particular church, awful. Now that feels so judgmental. It's interesting that while they go about the business of claiming nobody can be critical, they are. back to this supposed him. People can be so awful, self-righteous, and so critical. Remind me where that's biblical. Well, that's a straw man. Of course, we're not supposed to be self-righteous. And we're not supposed to be censorious, but I could point you to Bible verses that tell us to, you know, judge like the Bereans, that we mark those which cause division. The entire book of 2 Peter is all about judging. The book of Jude, I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, but there's all kinds of problems inside of the church. Got to deal with those false teachers. So I can point to the Bible encouraging us to be Bereans. Of course, not critical in this regard. But have no fear and have some hope. For the one who made you loves you the most. Every bone in you is a heavenly host. I don't know what that means either. Praise the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Here it comes. I'm bleeping gay, and thank God for that. Christians cast me out, but Jesus had my back. And we say hallelujah, we are all bleeping weird. And there's a place for you at the table, honey, here. Let's get louder. Let's go. And we say hallelujah, we're all bleeping weird. That's the state of at least one Methodist church or so-called United Methodist Church. How did they get here? And the answer is found in one word, hermeneutics. How you read this Bible. Who is the one that gets to determine what is the intention of the author? And the answer to that question is the author. And we simply have to read it, understanding what he was communicating to the original audience at the time of the writing. Then, of course, we can create a principle and we can apply it to our modern day 21st century context. But liberation theology is, well, it's a liberation hermeneutic. It's a way of going to find something in a book to support your cause or your case. And honestly, you could do this with virtually any book. You could use any book and go, see there? Because I've got this idea, and I've told you about this idea. Now I'm going to show you, totally ripped out of context, how this is supported inside of this book. It's not just the Bible. It can be done with any book. And that's why hermeneutics is so important. And that's why I got to tell you, I'm so excited. In August, we've got a resource called Herman Who. It has a study guide. I think it's 13 lectures on how to rightly divide the word of truth, how to cut the word correctly. It's going to be free, just to let you know. So don't go buy it now. If you want to be a frugal Christian, that's redundant. Starting in August, we're going to be releasing that resource with many others, thanks to our gospel partners who have allowed us to close the store. We're shutting it down starting August 1st. Please note, we're going to have a sale on all the hard copy stuff for pennies. We're just to empty the warehouse. Simultaneously, it's all free because it is so important that your church has a shared hermeneutic. Let's move on now to the Presbyterian Church. USA, remember the uni rule. If a church name or denomination name has the three letters UNI in that order inside of their title, think liberal. So Presbyterian Church, United States of America. They're now going to have at least some form of questioning for candidates who want to be pastors regarding their LGBTQ stance. Not for them to affirm what the Bible teaches about the subject, but that they are willing to do LGBTQ marriages. That's where the Presbyterian Church USA is. Gave final approval to an amendment to its Book of Order. So where were we? I think it was Huntsville. When we were walking through that great town, man, that's a neat city. And I mean neat, like as in tidy. We went into Was it Methodist or Episcopalian? I think Episcopalians, they are the best at designing churches. Methodist, number two. It was this glorious old church. No, it was Anglican. They do really good church buildings too. Went inside and looked inside of their hymnal, and then they had some sort of book of order. It's magnificent. It's just glorious and theologically rich. Now, they don't practice what they've got written inside of those books, but there it is. The measure was approved. They had their big PCUSA General Assembly, 297 to 130. And this is now the state of the Presbyterian Church USA. If you want to be a pastor, you have to affirm sin. How did the PCUSA get there? The exact same way the Methodists arrived at their liberation hermeneutic. They decided they are the ones who are the... That's what we should call it. The me hermeneutic. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to make it say. If your church doesn't have a shared hermeneutic, don't want to be all henny-penny here, but it's just a matter of time. It might be years, it might be decades, but you'll arrive at the exact same destination. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered book that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, that word. This raises a question. This is Wretched Radio. That's right. It's a hymn with multiple verses on the church. Did they write songs like that these days? Jimmy, would you be kind enough to fire up your AI machine and ask it for contemporary worship that focuses on the church?
Okay.
And let's just, it'll come up with some stuff because it just does. It doesn't mean it's good stuff, but it does mean that it will find something because it maybe mentions a word that's related to the subject that you're looking for. But see if you can find a worship song that's absolutely dedicated to the church. If you've never taken a look at an old hymnal and you can find yourself a mainline Protestant hymnal, I'm serious, Anglican, Methodist, Lutheran, all of them, you will discover that they've got their hymnals, unless, of course, they've updated them with something contemporary and wonky. But the traditional hymnals, they are broken up by sections. And one of the sections is the church. There are some hymnals that will even have a section of hymns, on laying a cornerstone. What? Laying a cornerstone? Yeah, we used to do that when we would actually build churches. And the hymnal would actually have dedicated hymns. Why? Because theologians used to write hymns. Now cool people write hymns. People who are musically gifted so that they can write something that is attractive to the contemporary listener. But they aren't theologians. Hymn writers used to be pastors. They used to be shepherds. And they used to write about stuff like laying a cornerstone. Jimmy, did you find anything for contemporary worship?
I've got a list here, but right. I haven't looked at the lyrics yet, so I can't be 100% sure. It just gave me a list.
Do any of them have the word church in the title?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Your Church by Sovereign Grace.
That's good stuff.
I would figure.
Okay. You know,
Chain and Chain, the church is one foundation.
Well, that one we just heard, right? Okay. So Sovereign Grace, they do good stuff. So there are good music writers, Chain and Chain, Matt Papa and Matt Boswell. Have you heard their song, their hymn, The King in All His Beauty? Did I ever share that here, Jimmy?
I think so.
Well, I think we should, because there is contemporary worship music that is being written these days by some people that is absolutely glorious. And by the way, this song, The King in All His Beauty. How do you feel about that word? Beauty. Do you perhaps, as a conservative sola scriptura type, go, whoa, 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 beauty, that's kind of the boyfriend sissified language? No, actually, it's not. I was reading a commentary by Alexander McLaren. He's an unknown guy who should be known more. He was a preacher back, I think, 1800s and maybe into the 1900s. And he had a section, he had a sermon inside of the commentary, The King in All His Beauty, something like that. It was basically the same title of the Matt Papa, Matt Boswell song. And he was using language like that 100 and some years ago without any compunction, because so much of our reticence to think thoughts like that about God, that he's the most beautiful being in the universe, is tainted by those who have abused it for so long and who just use romantic language that just becomes repulsive to us and makes us just, let's not talk like that. Well, they used to talk like that. They used to think of Jesus like that without ever feeling like, oh, we're being romantic about Jesus. Oh, there it is. Hold on. I was multitasking. This is from the Sing Conference. I think we did share this once. But that's okay. It's worth a couple of listens. This is Matt Papa and Matt Boswell. Yes, there is some good stuff being written today.
Oh, lift your eyes to heaven, see the Holy One eternal. Behold the Lord in majesty, exalted in his temple. As symphonies of angels praise, now strain to sound his glory. Come worship, fall before his grace, the King in all his beauty.
How worthy,
how worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I see the King who wears the crown, one made of shame and splinter, the sacrifice for ruined man, the substitute for sinners. As earth is stained with royal blood and quakes with love and fury, he breathes his last and bows his head, the King in all his beauty.
I believe that was a key change. Pretty big orchestra with this, too. Those are real strings.
Now see the Savior lifted up, the Lamb who reigns in splendor, the hope of every tribe and tongue, his kingdom is forever. Bring praise and honor to his courts, bring wisdom, power, blessing. For endless stages will adore the King in all his beauty.
How worthy,
how worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty.
Okay, so there is some good stuff that's being written today, but it's not the majority of people writing songs that are biblical and sound. Jimmy, you find any other church hymns that are written by, I don't know, Hillsong?
Well, I did find
Bethel.
Actually, there is one by Elevation called The Church.
All right, give me, do you have the lyrics for that by any chance?
No, I'll get them.
All right, let's see if Elevation has found their way to writing a good hymn about the church. In the meantime, an update from the Roman Catholic Church. Well, you've been wondering, maybe, about Pope Leo the XIV. He's the first American pope. Where's he at on the LGBTQ stuff? There were hints that maybe he was going to be at least biblical in that regard. Turns out, maybe not. According to the National Catholic Reporter, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, he is the head of the dicastery. I don't know what that is. For the doctrine of the faith. He told an Italian reporter last week, same-sex blessings would continue. The predecessor of Pope Leo the X1B, he was affirming these blessings for individuals who are gay, but they're not blessing the marriage. It's blessing the people getting married. See what they did right there? It's a distinction without much of a difference. Asked if the Pope would backtrack, he replied, I really don't think so. The declaration will remain. Well, that's a bummer. Jimmy, You got the lyrics?
I do.
All right, let's see. Let's hope they're good.
We are the church the world is waiting for. We've got a love the world is desperate for. We will lead and take you to, we will lead and take to your streets. Now the time for us to rise and carry hope and let love shine and show this world.
It's about us.
That mercy is alive.
It's not about the church.
Yeah.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. She is his new creation, elect from every nation, yet one her charter of salvation. I mean,
yep.
Well, that you can take a hymn then and call it this subject, but ultimately just be singing about yourselves. You know what we call that? Typical modern contemporary worship with some exceptions. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, the production of Fortis Institute. The resistance to common sense, well, it continues in full force as California has flatly rejected the Department of Education's proposal to protect women's sports from male competitors. Yep. Despite being given a 10-day deadline to rescind sports prizes awarded to transgender athletes and ban them from girls' competitions, California's Department of Education said they respectfully disagree with the Trump administration's analysis. President Trump has threatened to revoke federal funding for states refusing to comply, and California's response? Well, Gavin Newsom says he will continue standing guard to ensure his state remains the gold standard. Speaking of institutional rebellion, Harvard's faculty union is staging their own revolt against any potential deal between the university and the Trump administration. Over 300 professors represented by the newly formed AAUP chapter are threatening, quote, strong resistance, including possible walkouts if Harvard strikes an agreement without their input. A Harvard Crimson poll shows 71% of faculty oppose any deal with the administration, which tells you absolutely everything about the intellectual diversity at our most prestigious university in this country. With $2.8 billion in federal funding at stake, maybe it's time Harvard's administration remembers who actually pays the bills. The Federal Trade Commission is finally treating gender ideology like the consumer fraud that it's always been. The chairman has hosted a workshop examining whether so-called gender-affirming care for minors constitutes deceptive medical practices, with detransitioners and whistleblowers sharing devastating testimonies. One panelist didn't mince words, saying, quote, it's not health care, it's blatant consumer fraud. Meanwhile, the corporate world's response to the new health initiatives reveals some telling priorities. Mars, the company behind M&M's and Skittles, is now backing away from Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Make America Healthy Again campaign, claiming they can't find fully effective solutions to eliminate synthetic dyes. This from a company that already phases out harmful additives for European markets, but apparently they can't manage the same standards for American children. And the climate orthodoxy's intolerance for dissent reached some pretty new lows when NPR's Sam Zeff mocked a young meteorology graduate for challenging climate change narratives around the Texas flooding. And more from corporate America. Amazon, particularly, they're not immune to the struggles around the world as their expanded Prime Day strategy backfired pretty big. Sales plunged 41% on the first day compared to last year, with the four-day event encouraging treasure hunting rather than impulse purchases. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of his creation. God sustains his creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and he intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for his glory and for the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whilst you likely didn't come here for homework, you're gonna get some. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, I know what you're thinking. You think I'm going to give you the homework of passing out our Play the Man cards with QR codes that lead young men to a website that has a book on how to have victory over pornography and get saved, which kind of tend to go hand in hand. You can get these cards for free. About 300 people already have committed to going to university campuses, to festivals, their neighborhoods, to pass out gospel cards. It is totally free, even shipping. That's crazy. That's just crazy. We're giving away the card. They're beautiful, by the way. They're just really nice cards, and they're well done. You'll give it to a young man on a campus, and he's not going to be like, this is flaky. No, it's contemporary, and it looks appropriate, and I think it's compelling, an encouragement to be the man that they know they currently aren't. And it takes them to a page that has the booklet, Play the Man. It'll have the audio version. It'll have a video version, which is exceedingly cool. And we want kids to get saved. Right now, 300 people have committed to doing just that. If you want to join them, you can do so for free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. But that's not the homework I was going to give to you. Instead, I would like to invite you to help me think of an illustration. I'm not a major fan of illustrations as a rule, but they are helpful because they can. It just seems that our brain, I don't know how your brain functions, but mine, I literally feel it kind of go into a different zone or a different realm, which it probably does if we understand anything about the brain, which isn't much, frankly. But teaching, didactics, is one part of your brain. Hearing a story that colors the teaching, it's just a different gear. It's just a different region of the brain, it seems. And it can be so helpful. Headed to university campuses, we're doing a trial run this fall. If it works out, as we are hoping and praying that it does, we're going to be going to campuses a lot in 2026. I'm going to be in Oklahoma, at Oklahoma University, October, I believe, 24. Could be wrong on that date. To talk to young people about deconstruction. And I'm struggling to come up with an illustration. So here's your homework. My premise is that the individuals who deconstruct aren't really deconstructing Christianity. They're deconstructing something else. A perception of Christianity, perhaps, or their experience with some sort of expression of Christianity, but not with Christianity itself. They are tearing down Christianity by using the name Christian, but that's not what they are actually deconstructing. It's a shadow. It's a mist. It's not the real thing. That would be like, go. What's the illustration? What is the picture? It would be like tearing down, saying that you're opposed to an economic system without understanding, without actually defining the economic system correctly. So, okay, this isn't good. Believe me, that's why I'm asking for your help. It would be like, I'm going to deconstruct capitalism. Really? Why? Well, I just don't think that it's good that the government controls industry. But that's communism, not capitalism. Yeah, I'm deconstructing capitalism. I really think everybody should have the same amount of stuff. That's not capitalism. I can understand why you'd want to deconstruct capitalism because you don't understand what it is. Help me. I need better illustrations. You can send them to idea@wretched.org because deconstruction, it is going on so much these days. It's a cool way of saying I'm apostatizing. Could use your help. Send it to idea@wretched.org. Was reading an article from hipandthigh.wordpress, talking about young people leaving the church. David Kinnaman wrote a book in 2011, You Lost Me, Why Young Christians Are Leaving Church and Rethinking Church. So it's not a brand new trend. The term is relatively new, to deconstruct. Sounds so smart, doesn't it? But it's been going on. Well, it's been going on since Bible days, confer Demas. Nevertheless, in 2011, he wrote down six reasons why he believes millennials are leaving the church. Now, how thorough is this? How deeply researched is this? Well, we're going to trust that he came up with this list of six with some validity. so that you and I can potentially learn about how to teach our kids in Sunday school, youth group, and at home, because these are the messages that they're hearing. So reason number one, churches seem overprotective. Shouldn't it be overly protective? Nevertheless, the individuals who like to deconstruct or leave church say the churches are hiding the truth of the world from their youth. And so they see moms and dads or the church saying, stay away from this stuff. They call that being overprotective. I call that that's just a straw man. It's similar to the deconstruction of the Christian faith without rightly defining the Christian faith. It's not being overly protective, like we don't want you to have any fun. It's we first of all believe that this is the best way to live because this is the way that God says we are to live. But second of all, we don't want you hurt. We want you to flourish. We want you to experience good things. And so when they hear talk about look out for R-rated movies, premarital sex, they call it overprotective. I call it being a good parent. Be mindful of that. Make sure you explain to your young people why we are to live this way. Because if all we do is say, don't go to R-rated movies, don't be smoking the pot, who's the authority? And the answer would be, you are. As a representative of the church or of Jesus Christ, they are going to think that you are just being a fuddy-duddy. You're overly protective. Use the Bible as your authority. Use God as your authority. Otherwise, they're going to have a perception. They're going to use the internet words to describe a biblical thing to make it a straw man thing, and then they can deconstruct it. Number two reason, teens and 20-somethings' experience of Christianity is shallow. The author of this article said, the church has become the equivalent of a Vegas show. And that gets boring real quick. Once again, I'm telling you, young people don't want silly. They don't want trite. They want something bigger. They want something that is historic. They want something that is more profound than just pizza parties. They want deep. Are you providing it in your youth group? There's a trend, and I get it. I kind of personally am philosophically opposed to dumbing Bible down to baby talk, probably because as parents, we were never baby talk parents. Even with our babies, we didn't talk to them with the goo, 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 boop, 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 boop. We talked to them like the adults we wanted them to be. And I think the same thing is true when we talk about the Bible. Do we dumb it down to a level of childishness that where it just seems like this is for babies? This isn't for adults. Reason number three that people presumably are leaving the church as young people. Churches come across as antagonistic to science. This is another straw man. We're not antagonistic to science. Define science. What they probably think that we're antagonistic against is evolution, which is anything but science. And so they hear us being young earth creationists. And what is the YouTube mantra? Oh, they're anti-science. They're opposed to science. They're opposed to global warming. They're opposed to vaccines. They're opposed to science. No, we're not. But we need to understand what science is. Testable, observable, verifiable, repeatable. Evolution isn't. Number four reason the whippersnappers are leaving. Young Christians' church experience related to sexuality are often simplistic and judgmental. They don't like being told what to do with their bodies. Again, don't tell them what to do with their bodies. Let God tell them. This is what God says about premarital sex. Number five, they wrestle with the exclusive nature of Christianity. I get that because it seems like, wow, there's so many people out there who don't believe in Jesus. Exactly. I think a simple illustration helps. If you owned the planet and you died for wicked sinners, wouldn't you want people to know the best thing? Ditto, God. Reason number six, the church feels unfriendly to those who doubt. It shouldn't, We can handle their questions. But if you and your youth group are never raising them and answering them with the authority of the Bible, I can understand why they would come to that conclusion. But they shouldn't. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Lawson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Kimmy to the rescue. This is Wretched Radio. You've got my illustration.
No. I said I have one.
I thought you said you had it solved.
I said I have a line that I've been holding on to for a while.
So you're a communist.
That's it.
I have no idea what I'm accusing you of. What? Okay, you've got, what's your line that has, this has to do with young people's perception of what they think Christianity is, and then they deconstruct that. But so, that's not actual deconstruction. So what is your helpful line?
So your line before you lead into your illustration would be to ask them, what if the Jesus you've been rejecting never actually existed?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. Is that going to be in the radio notes so I can get that afterwards?
That's
really good. Maybe the Jesus you've been rejecting isn't the Jesus that actually exists. I think that's true on so many levels. This has been perhaps a burr in my saddle for a bit now, But the understanding of God's laws, we immediately, even as we talk about the law-gospel distinction, I'll just ask you, when you think of the law of God, the laws of the government, the laws of the land, the laws of the school, the laws of the work, the laws of home, do you have a positive feeling about laws or a negative feeling? Jimmy, when you hear law, do you think, woohoo, awesome, laws? Or is it more like, yeah?
Yeah, it seems restrictive, doesn't it?
They are.
That's what we've been told, I think, for so long, or told how to think about them.
Well, I agree, but it also goes against our grain. Our flesh wants to do what we want to do. The law says, no, you have to do it the way that God wants you to do it. And I think our perception of law then tends to fall more into the negative camp than positive. It's going to wreck it. It keeps me from doing what I feel like. It's going to mean that I maybe have to part company with something that I like. It maybe means that I have to do with my finances what I don't prefer. Negative, 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 negative. And the law isn't. The law is good. The law is lawful. It is when it's used how? Rightly. And I think understanding that God's laws are good laws. They aren't designed to wreck your life. They're designed to enhance your life. And I think most people rebel when they're deconstructing. They rebel against the laws of God because they don't understand what they are. So just similar with your line, maybe the Jesus you've been rejecting isn't the Jesus. Am I doing it right?
That's it.
Is the Jesus who actually exists?
Right.
All right. Maybe the laws you're resisting aren't as awful as you've supposed. What if they're good? What if they bring you more joy? What if the understanding of living God's way brings you a life that is filled with, I'm going to use the word, purpose? What if these laws actually help you to flourish more as a human being? What if they provide more good things for you? Don't reject God's laws because you think that they're negative and that they're just awful and oppressive. That's another one, by the way, that we've been reading about deconstruction, that Christianity is oppressive. It's adopted the language of this dreadful social Marxism that has so pervaded our society. That it's the Christianity and the Bible and God is the oppressor. You evangelicals, you just want to oppress people. I think you're deconstructing something that is inaccurate. And so I think engaging with their terminology, but explaining what it actually is can be helpful. I was reading a really good article. Initially, when I started reading this article from John Stonestreet from breakpoint.org, I was like, oh, I don't really care about an Israeli scholar named Yuval Noah Harari. Jimmy, what was the name of the guy that Joe Rogan was engaged? Roman.
Yep, Roman.
Roman Yampolsky.
Yep.
All righty then. And he's kind of an AI guy, right?
Computer guy.
I don't know if you heard this. This has nothing to do with the Breakpoint article, except it's a name that I can hardly pronounce. Joe Rogan, clearly, he's a little bit, he hasn't progressed, let's say, as far as we had hoped.
What existed before the physical world created by God?
Ideas, just information.
Just God. God was bored. It was like, let's make some animals that can think and solve problems. And for what reason? I think to create God. This is what I worry about. I worry about that's really the nature of the universe itself. That it is actually created by human beings creating this infinitely intelligent thing that can essentially harness all of the available energy and power of the universe and create anything it wants.
I didn't understand that. I thought he started out saying that God existed and he created animals, and then he said that he created us so that we could create God. I think
that it is God. That is that, like, you know, this whole idea of Jesus coming back. Well, maybe it's real. Maybe we just completely misinterpreted these ancient scrolls and texts. And then what it really means is that we are going to give birth to this.
So,
and this is
a trend. I think Joe Rogan has maybe caught Jordan Peterson disease, where we take what is clear. This is a historic book. Oh, last night we had our Alpharetta Bible Church elder meeting and the deacons joined us. We had such a delightful time, and not just because we had the amazing barbecue chicken pizza from down the street. It was just a really sweet time, and we started talking about different people who got saved and how wonderful it is when people get saved by God. And I think it was Jason. He heads up our fellows program here at Fortis Institute. I can't recall who the individual was. I don't think it was anybody famous. But this guy got saved, took his wife to see The Passion of the Christ, or they watched it on TV. And in the middle of it, she said, "It's true. It's true." Bingo. What we read in the pages of the Bible is true. It actually happened. We even have a tendency as born-again believers to, you know, these are the stories of the Bible. No, these are historical events. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. There was a global flood. God sent his son to live a perfect life of righteousness, to die for sinners who are anything but righteous. It actually happened. When you read the gospel accounts of Jesus, that's what he said. That he did those things. I know we tend to think of them almost like, well, I don't want to say Aesop's fables, but childhood stories. Oh, that's a nice story about Jesus walking on water. He did. He actually did. So when you maybe think about what Jesus did, put it in the context of reality, because it's true. It actually can visualize. Jesus actually walked on water. Can you see that? Jesus walked on water. He fed how many people? 9,000, 12,000, depending on how many women and children you count, with a piece of bread and a couple of fish. He fed how many? He did that? Yes, he actually did that. And what I'm hearing from Joe Rogan is what I hear from Jordan Peterson. We take those fanciful tales and we reinterpret them with some sort of 21st century social media intellectual pastiche and say, that's what Christianity is. No, no, it's not. But that was Roman Yampolsky. Oh, he's a computer scientist. That's not about whom John Stonestreet was writing. Israeli scholar Yuval Noah Harari. Apparently, he's sold tens of millions of books. He's a philosopher and he's a materialist. He argues human beings are not unique. We're not special. Referred to Charles Darwin as a prophet of sexual liberation. He's actually right about that. It just, oh, hey, we're just animals. We don't judge the animals for being frisky in any configuration they want. No problem for us. That wasn't Charles Darwin's intention, but that's how it was used. Charles Darwin's intention wasn't genocide. That's how it was used. Charles Darwin's intention wasn't eugenics, but that's how it was used. Charles Darwin's intention wasn't racism, but that is exactly what his pernicious worldview breeds. Back to Mr. Harari. If there's no creator with specific intentions for humanity and their behavior, people are free to live as they wish. So he wrote this on his post. Nothing in nature has a purpose and nothing that exists is unnatural. Happy International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. There's just one little problem with that. If there's no God, no theology, no intrinsic shape or dignity to the person or the sexual act, then nothing is unnatural and permitted, including prejustice against or persecution of such thing. Why would prejudice or persecution be wrong when sexual deviancy is not? You can't have a judgmental opinion about nothing if God doesn't exist. The good news is he does. You can read all about him in vivid detail in that book we call The Bible. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.